Will you pray with me, please? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Something just felt a little bit off. I had just returned to the Atlanta airport after a long trip to California. It was about 10 o'clock at night, and as I drove down the freeway at about 65 miles an hour, I just had this feeling that something wasn't quite right. And I became aware that I wasn't certain of my exact location, nor was I certain I was headed even in the correct direction. Now, the rear view mirror in the compass in my car has a little compass in one corner that digitally displays your direction of travel. I like to think I usually have a pretty good sense of direction, but I kept looking at that compass because that little letter said W, as in west. Now, I haven't lived in Georgia that long, but long enough to know that Athens is east of the Atlanta airport. I was certain that I was indeed on I-285, so I knew that that letter should have said E or NE, and to make matters even more confusing, every few miles I passed a sign that said I was headed in the general direction of some place called Birmingham. And then I remembered my car is equipped with a navigation system, but I never look at it because I've got it all up here, right? I pushed the button and brought up the map and immediately saw my mistake. I was indeed on 285, but I was pointed in the complete opposite direction of home. And I saw by looking at the map that if I continued on that current course, I would get a grand tour of Metro Atlanta at 10 o'clock on a Thursday night. Atlanta's a lovely town, but I really didn't want to see the whole thing. I just wanted to go home. So fortunately, my little sojourn, I exited the next exit and turned around, and my little side trip only cost me about 10 minutes of time and fuel. But for those 10 minutes, I was, by every definition, lost. I wasn't exactly sure of my location or even my general direction of travel. I had trusted in my own gut instincts, in my own internal compass. I had launched off. When I left, I was confident that I was headed toward Athens, but my internal compass was wrong. And if I hadn't turned to some exterior tools at my disposal, tools like a compass and freeway signs and a digital map, if I hadn't looked for an external reference point, I might not have made it to church this morning. I might still be on 285, just making loops around Atlanta. Oh, and by the way, this is a side note. People in Atlanta, there's got to be another name for a street besides Peachtree, right? But all of us have become lost at some point or another, right? It happens. Even in 2019, even with in-dash navigation systems and digital compasses, even with cellular phones that are linked to satellites in outer space, sometimes we get lost. Sometimes our internal compass, our gut feelings, can cause us to launch confidently, completely opposite the direction of home. Hopefully, when that happens, the worst that happens to us is a side trip of a few minutes before we get back on course. Well, when we come to our text this morning, the people of God have been wandering, not for 10 minutes, but for nearly 40 years. And during that 40 years, the people of God have been undergoing a transformation. Because remember, for the previous four centuries, for the previous 400 years, the people of God had been enslaved in the land of Egypt. But as Carol reminded us last week, ours is a God who sees. And God saw the misery of God's people. God saw how Pharaoh was oppressing the Israelites. Carol reminded us ours is a God who comes down. And so God came down and inhabited a burning bush and called to a man named Moses. And ours is a God who sends. And God sent Moses to Pharaoh to say, "Let my people go." And then God sent the people out of Egypt. And so when we come to our text in Deuteronomy this morning, the people of God have been out of Egypt for 40 years. Getting the people out of Egypt, that was the easy part for God. That only took a few minutes. But during all of these years in the wilderness, God has been getting the Egypt out of the hearts of God's people. They have been learning how to trust in God's provision and care. They have been learning how to live as a free people. And now the time is drawing near for them finally to return home, to return to the land of promise. And by the way, Moses is aware that his days on the earth are growing short. But before any of that happens, before the people of God go into the land of promise, and before Moses dies, Moses calls the people together to remind them of their core values, to remind them of who and whose they are, to remind them of their anchor points. And so with that preamble in mind, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to read from chapter 5, verses 1 through 21, and again, chapter 6, 4 through 9. It begins on page 162 in the Old Testament in your pew Bible. Listen now for a word from God. Moses convened all Israel, and he said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and ordinances that I am addressing to you today. You shall learn and observe them diligently. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. Not with our ancestors did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain, out of the fire. At that time, I was standing between the Lord and you to declare to you the words of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire and did not go up the mountain. And the Lord said, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses the name. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter or your male or female slave or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember, you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, so that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. Neither shall you commit adultery. Neither shall you steal. Neither shall you bear false witness against your neighbor. Neither shall you covet your neighbor's wife. Neither shall you desire your neighbor's house or field or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor.'" And turning now into chapter 6, Moses continued, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This, too, is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if you worshiped with us over the course of the summer, you know we spent all summer on these Ten Commandments. I bet you thought I might give a pop quiz this morning and see if you still remembered them all, right? You're like, oh man, Ten Commandments again? But notice, friends, when we did that series on the Ten Commandments, we were in the book of Exodus, and now we are in the book of Deuteronomy. Moses is restating the law. What's the deal? Why does he need to state it again? Well, it's been 40 years. It's been almost 40 years since God parted the Red Sea and God's people walked through on dry ground. It's been almost 40 years since Moses received the stone tablets on the mountain. And during that span of 40 years, the people have been wandering in the wilderness, and there have been some changes. For one thing, an entire generation of people has died out, and a whole new generation of Israelites has been born. And as the people of God approach the Jordan River and are about to return to the land of promise, the only one among them that still has a living memory of what life was like back in Egypt is Moses. And so Moses knows the people of God, they're approaching a boundary marker. What lies ahead will be qualitatively different than everything that has already come to pass. As they enter the land of promise, Moses knows they've been out in the wilderness by themselves, but now they're going to be bumping up against neighbors. And these neighbors, by the way, have different ideas about the divine, about spirituality. These neighbors have different ideas about morality, about what is right and about what is wrong. These neighbors they're going to meet have different ideas about what's the point of all of this, the ultimate meaning of things. And so as they're about to enter the land of promise, and as Moses knows he's about to die, he gathers all the people together and reminds them of their core values, of what makes them God's people. And then he says this. He says, "Not with our ancestors did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today." With all of us here alive today. All of us. Technically, Moses was incorrect, because none of the people that Moses were addressing were even born 40 years prior when God gave the law. Moses knows that. And what's more, the people know that. What Moses is saying rhetorically, or perhaps more accurately what God is saying through the scriptures, is that this covenant that God gave at Sinai wasn't just for those people back there, back then. This isn't ancient history. This is present reality. This covenant extends across all those years and across all those miles and across all those generations. And oh, by the way, friends, it extends into this very room to all of us here who are alive today. These Ten Commandments, this covenant of the law, it's not just with our ancestors. It's with you and me right here and now. This is a marker for us, a way for us to check our bearings, to orient our lives as we bump up against neighbors who have differing ideas about right and wrong, differing ideas about the ultimate purpose of things. This is our waypoint. And perhaps you, my friend, are standing at a boundary marker of sorts today. Perhaps you're facing a change in your job or a change with a key relationship. Perhaps you're facing some changes in your health or financial status, and my goodness, don't often health and financial status go together. Perhaps you're keenly aware that What comes next in your life will look very different from what has already come to pass. Or perhaps you are trying to navigate your way through a darkened night, trying to find your way through a complex problem or issue. Perhaps you know the general direction you want to go. You know your destination, but maybe you have set off confidently in that direction, trusting in your internal compass and instincts. And as you have navigated, something just doesn't feel quite right. You're beginning to get the sense that you are lost. It's easy to get lost. I'm going to demonstrate that with a little experiment. I want you to remember that I can see all of you from up here, and I'm going to ask you to trust me. I'm not going to do anything weird, but I'm going to ask you to just go with me on this, because I'm going to demonstrate this to you, how easy it is to get lost. I want to invite everybody in this room, just close your eyes. Remember, I can see you. Okay, close your eyes. Relying on your internal compass, relying on your gut instinct without looking around, take a finger and confidently point to true north. Keep your eyes closed. Keep your eyes closed. True north. Heading of 000. All right, everybody's made a decision, it looks like. Now stay with your gut feeling. Don't change it. Now open your eyes and look around. Look at your neighbors. Somebody is lost. Now, the majority, I would say, the majority of you pointed right at me, right? Right at the Oregon case, right? You're wrong. You are 15 degrees off course. True north is actually like right that way. See why nobody can find their way around Georgia? I checked. Some of y'all saw me walking around with my cell phone before worship. I was verifying my compass heading, right? So this way is actually 15 degrees off of true north, of due north. So it may not make a difference when you get out of the parking lot, but I bet by the time you reach the Canadian border, you'll be pretty far off, right? The point is this. God has given us this navigation point in God's word, in these Ten Commandments. They are our way to find ourselves again. The point is, there is a truth with a capital T that exists that is independent of your feelings. There is a truth that exists that is independent of your instincts or theories or whatever news media you choose to follow or whatever Twitter feed you look at. There is a truth that exists independent of all of that. And so to the extent, as people of God, that we are not lined up with the truth, with a capital T, we are known as lost. And the further we go in life when we are not aligned with this fixed point, the more lost we become. So Moses knows that the people of God are about to go in to this new thing, and he implores them, don't forget the truth. Remember God's law. And he says, write it on your hands. Fix it on your forehead. Write it on the doorposts of your gates and your house. Talk about it with your children when you're at home and when you're far away. Because it's easy to get lost. Keep checking your bearings against something besides your own gut feelings. So God gives the law to God's people, not as a burden, not as a follow this or else, but as a gift, as a fixed point at which to check ourselves, as a way to point toward due north, as a way to navigate through troubled waters. And I'm mindful for all of us, friends, with each passing day, with each new headline, with each tweet and subtweet, it feels like the world in which we live becomes more and more off kilter. Up becomes down, left becomes right, We deal with alternative facts and fake news, and everyone seems to have a hot take and a very short fuse. So I think the world needs the church, needs you and me to be the ones who testify there is a fixed point in the universe. There is a fixed point in the order of things where we can take our bearings, where we can check ourselves and test our feelings and gut instincts. And that fixed point you won't find on a map. And yes, I know some of you have already come up to me and said, you know, magnetic north moves 30 miles every year. Yeah, I get that. I'm talking theologically now, right? That fixed point in the universe is known to us as Jesus of Nazareth. All of Scripture points to Him. We call Him the Christ. He is the living fulfillment, the living embodiment of God's law, the one who did it perfectly. He is the way and the truth and the life, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the light of the world. There's our reference point, friends. There's our example of what it looks like. One day, someone asked Jesus a question about which of all these commandments is the greatest. Y'all know that there's actually 600 commandments in Scripture, right? Not just 10. We didn't have enough fingers and toes to do all 600, right? So which one of all these in the law is the greatest? And Jesus went right to Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, one more wayfinding exercise for you this morning. Take a finger and point it toward heaven. First commandment, just love God. Take a second finger. My mother told me not to point at your neighbor, but I'm going to give you permission today. Point at your neighbor. Second commandment is love your neighbor as you love yourself, and then bring those together. Perfect love of God, and perfect love of neighbor. That's life lived in the shape of the cross. And the cross is how we find our way home. Thanks be to God. Amen.